Hey, hey, you're listening to Stop the Scroll, a social media marketing podcast, and I'm your host, Heidi Schmidt. I'm a social media strategist and agency owner with over 15 years of marketing experiences helping businesses grow online. We'll be diving into what you need to know so that you can show up confidently online without the overwhelm. Get your notebook ready to jot down some amazing marketing gems and let's dive into it. Welcome back to another episode of Stop the Scroll with yours truly, Heidi Schmidt. I am an agency owner and social media strategist, and I'm so excited about today's topic. So when I'm talking to prospects or when I'm talking in a strategy session, you know, a lot of people ask me, hey, what do I post about? And obviously, this is why we have content pillars. This is why we have the overarching topics that we post about. However, if you're just getting started out, and even if you have your content pillars, you don't necessarily know, like, okay, well, how do I come up with, you know, 10 ways to repurpose your content? You know, that would be something for me. So I wanted to kind of share and talk about where we get ideas. Like when you're battling that writer's block and when you're just like, I don't know what the F to flip and post about, where do you get those ideas? And so I'm sharing some ideas that I take from when I need to spark some inspiration. Because obviously we can scroll for hours on Instagram and a lot of people will be like, well, I'm scrolling for inspiration. And I do that too. Guilty as charged, guilty as charged. But let's stop wasting time and be a little bit more efficient about where we actually get content ideas from. So when you're looking to reignite that content inspiration, here's how I find ideas. Usually I will go back and I'll repurpose. And repurposing content and the strategy behind it can be its own entire podcast. Let's be honest, because there is some strategy to it. I was just telling a client earlier today, like, we don't need to keep reinventing the content wheel. Listen, there is only so many ways. I have clients who their topics can be very dry. If you don't have much going on, I'm going to repurpose things because there is only so many ways that we can say that we're hiring. And yes, we can get a little creative with it, but sometimes when your creativity is lacking or when you're in a creativity slump, because we all get there, you just need to like go back 3 months, 6 months, a year ago, and just kind of take what you posted then, you know, even revisiting blog posts. Like, this is not just for social media. These content ideas, how to find these content ideas, they are not just good for social media. They can be great for social media. They can be great for finding podcast ideas. They can be great for finding blog ideas. Let's just leave that out there. These are not just ideas when it comes to creating social media content. And yes, this is a social media podcast, but social media is one little tiny piece of that marketing puzzle. So repurposing, that's idea number one. Next, if you're really stuck, survey your audience. Ask them, hey, what do you think about this? You know, one of my clients has a big Facebook group and she's always great about instigating conversation by asking simple questions like, is anyone else an introvert? How do you build those connections? And I absolutely love that because it gives a good idea, especially in groups like that. It gives a good idea to think about what your audience actually wants to hear from you. You can ask their opinions on trending topics or, you know, any upcoming product releases that you might be teasing. Like, hey, what do you think about this? A former client of mine who is a good friend of mine, she used to do a lot of that surveying the audience, especially she owns a retail boutique. And she would do a this or that, like when she went to market. And surveying the audience is not only a great way to get content ideas, it is a great way to spark engagement. So it gives you lots of valuable insights that can really guide decisions on upcoming launches, on things that are trending. Does your audience actually care about those things that are trending? Who knows? Next, let's talk about evergreen content. And one of the greatest evergreen content ideas is those tips and tricks, those DIY, those how-tos. It can be a step-by-step guide. It can be a quick how-to video. Videos are great to repurpose into blogs. Just saying, list of best practices. Not only does creating these like how-to guides create great evergreen content that is great to have as SEO content, but it's also great to have as social media content, and it helps establish you as a trusted source of information. You want to be the thought leader. You want to be the go-to on whatever it is that your industry is. You want to be the go-to person for that. So doing those how-tos, that's how people search. In the social media industry, we talk a lot about how people are using social, especially the Zoomers. I'm going to call them that, the Gen Zers. But they are especially driving some of these search trends over to social media platforms like TikTok or YouTube. How do I do this? What's the best way to add more protein to my diet? You know, things like that, things that are evergreen, that are the how-tos, the guides, 5 tips to do X, whatever. These are great evergreen pieces of content, and they're great to repurpose across multiple platforms. So they're great to repurpose for your blog. You can create a video on them. You can create multiple blogs like 5 best practices, how to do why. You're going to use the same DIY content for them. Next idea, and don't hate me for this. Don't hate me. But, and this is more social media focused. Let's be honest. This is less for like blog evergreen content, but a little motivational content never hurt anyone. Like if you were really like lagging for ideas that are really sometimes valuable, everyone loves a little motivation. Everyone loves a little inspiration. People go to social media to be social and to be uplifted. Like they don't want to be dragged down. Positive vibes like that create those emotional connections that keep your followers coming back for more. So do not underestimate the power of a little motivation and inspirational messaging. Again, probably not appropriate for the blog, but if you want to get real with people, if you want to kind of, speaking of that, fostering connections and engagement, let's talk a little bit about behind the scenes. And you can, it is not impossible to talk behind the scenes on a blog. And behind the scenes content, at least for me, is some of my best performing content. People love behind the scenes stuff. They love it. So when we think about behind the scenes, for social, you know, you can share photos, you can show video, you can do a tour of your office space. If you have one, I do not. This is my office. I am in my office. I'm looking at the video on Zoom here. I'm recording on Zoom. And I'm like, the office, you know, people listening are actually going to see my office. Sidebar. But sharing that process behind creating your products, creating your content. If you're doing a photo shoot, you know, showing that kind of stuff really is the opportunity to humanize your brand and to build that genuine connection. People love seeing the how-tos. They love seeing, not getting directions for the how-to, but like seeing the how it's made, how it's done. What's the process? What does it look like? Show your products in action, your services in action. A friend of mine owns a cleaning company, and she has gotten down and dirty, quite literally, in her reels and shows her process and shares tips and tricks. And I love that behind the scenes content. I don't know. Is it just me, or does anyone else like deep dive into clean talk? Like, there are some amazing, amazing cleaners on TikTok, and just saying, like, they're behind the scenes. They're like, ASMR content is incredible. If you want some recommendations, I can absolutely share them with you. Anyhow, moving right along here, let's take a trip down memory lane. Throwback content, you know, was it sharing some of that nostalgic content, especially from like an anniversary or a milestone? You know, those type of things make really great campaigns. Those kind of significant events, reflecting on any journey that you're going through, and not just like, let's take the products and the services away from it, but sharing that journey or reflecting on it after the fact, like, oh, my business coming up on, well, at the time that this is going to go live, it is my 4-year business anniversary. And I kind of need to like share the journey because there's been a lot, and it's been amazing. It's an amazing journey. And as business owners, especially since most of you are probably solopreneurs or entrepreneurs, The business journey is hard, and every step of that way should be celebrated and it should be shared. And sharing those milestones, oh my God, we just served our 100th customer, or oh my God, we have been open for 5 years, or whatever that milestone is, throw it back. If your milestone was 6 months ago, hey, Throwback Thursday, remember that milestone 6 months ago? Wasn't that incredible? You know, we're really looking forward to the next 6 months. Or whatever it is. That's really good social content. You can also do, for if you're thinking about longer form content, X number of lessons that we've learned in 5 years. Five lessons I've learned in 5 years in business. Things like that are a great way to really personalize your content and share, again, your thought leadership and what it's been like for you. People like to connect to people. They like to connect to that authentic, personalized experience. They like to connect to the person behind the brand. So think about that. Throwback content is always a win, I think. When you really need some content to spark your content, look at your industry. Look at the latest trends. Look at the news. What can you newsjack? What can you talk about? Share insightful articles. Give your take on things. Share the statistics from the latest report. You know, at the end of each year, I tend to do a here's what we're looking at in trends for the next year. It is always valuable to be a reliable source of industry information. Again, you want to be the go-to source for service ABC. So why wouldn't you share the latest going on in the industry? In the future, I really look forward to going to Social Media Week or to Social Media World. Those are some big conferences in the social media space. And I absolutely love, after those conferences, reading content from some of my favorite industry experts who are like, here's what we learned. Here's what we saw. It just kind of helps you stay on top of what's trending. And again, it really positions you as an authority in your field. And we all want that. We all want to be the expert. We all want to be the first person that people come to. Like in my community, I've kind of become a go-to for social media and marketing in general. And I love that. So that means that when there are trends coming out, I want to be on top of them. I don't want my clients being like, hey, I heard this. Should we be doing this? Like, I want to be ahead of that and be like, oh, no. I got you, boo. So sharing what those things are, like if you haven't shared anything industry related and you're like, oh God, what do I post about this week? Oh my God, I don't have any blog ideas, or the content idea drain has run dry. Like, look at the industry. Simple as that. And this kind of goes without saying. We kind of talked about, you know, surveying your audience, crowdsourcing. This is more of a social media thing, but you know, sharing an image, especially like kind of a bloopery type thing, and getting comments, crowdsource. You know, not every piece of content has to be a piece of content that generates leads or drives traffic. We all want leads and we all want traffic to our website, but not every piece is going to do that. So in those cases, you really have to think about, hey, sometimes we're just posting for engagement. That's less of a blog strategy and definitely more of a social strategy, but it should not be underestimated that there should be an engagement portion of your strategy out there. Next, let's talk about seasonal content. If your industry is seasonal, especially, talk about it. You know, I used to have a client who was a health and wellness coach, and one of our big content pillars was like seasonal health information. You know, it's allergy season, and we would repurpose a lot, but that seasonal content, especially if you've already created it, is always an easy, like, oh, I got that. I can repurpose that. And even if it's a blog post, like say you're writing something about, you know, 5 ways to keep your grass green this spring, and you have your 5 tips and they're fantastic and it's a well-trafficked piece, you can repurpose those and just say ways to keep your yard looking fresh all season long. And maybe add something to it. And then you take those tips and it becomes a carousel on Instagram. It can become a B B-roll reel of your last client's yard that you made look incredible with those tips kind of overlaid. And that's kind of a trend that we're seeing on Instagram reels. It's just like a little bit of B-roll with a lot of text over it, mainly because it keeps looping and Instagram really likes looping reels. But that's a whole other thing for another time. So there's that. Seasonal content is always a win. Hands down, I mentioned earlier that at the end of each year, I kind of look at what are people talking about for the year ahead as possible trends or best practices coming up in the social media world. So I know that every December, I need to be talking about next year. You know, if you're a business coach and you talk a lot about goal setting, like, okay, what are the times of year that people talk about goal setting? You know, probably in December, January, even midway through the year, like you want to be talking about your business strategy and your goals. So why wouldn't you talk about that also in June? It's midway through the year. Hey, have you really thought about your goals? Blah, blah, blah. Here are five things to consider when setting the goals for the rest of the year. They're probably going to be the same as the beginning of the year. Like, hey, is it realistic? Whatever. The thing with marketers, and I find this really hard sometimes, is that we are like, especially if you're like me and you've worked in a number of different industries with clients from all over the spectrum, like seriously, like IBM partner tech companies to like a local restaurant to me in Maryland. I have worked with clients all over the place in many, many industries. So you kind of become an expert in a lot of things. You kind of learn all of the things for your clients. And it's mind-blowing sometimes. It's, you know, I have something to say about everything. Recommendations are always good. And so these recommendations, they don't even have to be for your, you know, I've read, and I don't know if this is still trending, and this is probably like me being like, oh, hey, I probably shouldn't talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it anyhow. So a few years ago, there was a whole big thing about answering your audience and in the content marketing world. And it was led by Marcus Sheridan, who is big on the HubSpot circuit, which I am not. That's not my space. That's not my space. It used to be. I used to work for HubSpot agencies, but then I went in-house and kind of became a jack of all trades and really niched down to social media in 2020. But people always want to know about the best blah, blah, blah. So depending on your industry, it could even be something like book recommendations. Like if you're a business coach, like my favorite business books, my favorite books on business. Or if you're a travel planner, your favorite travel destinations, you know, sharing those recommendations, again, that's great SEO evergreen content. And two, like that's fun video content to create for Instagram or TikTok or even Facebook. I've been really deep into Facebook Reels lately. I don't know. They're blowing my mind. And granted, a lot of them are recommended from Instagram, but again, this is a total sidebar, tangent, whatever. Anyhow, so sharing those recommendations or your opinions, or you can even tie it in to newsjacking and talk about, you know, the things that are trending. Again, it really depends on your industry, but recommendations are always a win. This is where it comes back to knowing your audience. What does your audience care about? If you're a graphic designer, maybe like how to tie in Pantone Color of the Year, how to tie it in, or hey, these are my favorite books on branding. Whatever it is, like tie it in. Next, for social media. And we all love a good meme. We all love a good meme. We all love it. We love it. We love it. We love it. They're fun. They garner engagement. Memes, oftentimes, no matter where you post them, whether you're posting them on LinkedIn, whether you're posting them on Facebook, like they're gonna get engagement. And they're really there to just, sometimes they're just there to help you show up and garner that engagement. I don't love memes a lot. I do love the occasional Instagram meme. And there's the one with like the two cats that are like, there's the one cat like, and then the other cat's like, meow. And then the other cat's like, and then, meow. Meow. And it's, you know, it's like two people being like, the husband's like, oh, hey, you know, do you want dinner? And the woman's like, no, I'll get fat. And he'll be like, okay, I'm ordering XYZ from Taco Bell. And she'll be like, and I had an extra crunch wrap, you know, like, I don't know. If you've seen that on Instagram, that's like my favorite thing. And I send at least half a dozen of those to my husband every day. So memes have a purpose and they fit into marketing. They're not on brand for everyone. Let's be honest. They are not on brand for everyone, but they are on brand for a lot of people, especially if you tie it back. And that's what it's all about. It's all about tying it back to your brand. Tying it back, knowing your audience and knowing what they like, what they engage with. And if you are really, really struggling with content ideas, like knowing where to seek out those ideas, go back to your industry, look back at repurposing your content, give some recommendations. What does your audience care about, especially this time of year, you know? Seasonal content. All of those things are ways to get easy, easy content ideas. And if you're looking for blog ideas or podcast ideas or video ideas, go to the source, like Google, social media, whatever. Or I say social media because I'm thinking about myself here. Sorry. But think about your industry. Try to find other industry leaders. What are they talking about? You know, like sometimes Googling social media advice on YouTube is one of the best ways for me to get easy, easy content ideas. Put your professional spin on it. Obviously, don't copy people. That's not professional. We don't like that. But if I need like a little bit of inspiration, there are definitely industry leaders that I'm like, what have they talked about? Ooh, I like that title. Let me put my spin on it and obviously not use the same title, but like there is nothing wrong with looking at what other people are doing, putting your spin on it, putting your take on it. And especially if you're just creating a list of ideas, like these are things that I want to post about in the future. Okay, so-and-so, I really liked that video. Oh, it got good engagement. Okay, how can I use my expertise and tie it back to my brand? Because no one has the same audience. Like the people that I follow on YouTube that are social media experts, their audiences are completely different than mine. So you always have to tie it back to your audience. You always have to know who your audience is and what they care about. What do they need from you? What are their pain points? And what do they care about? And not even just what they need from you, but like if they are, for instance, I have a client who's a run coach. Her clients might not be marathon runners, but like, hey, Boston Marathon, she shared a few stories and they got great engagement. Like you think about that kind of stuff and that's her audience might not be training for the next marathon. They might not even be able to qualify for Boston Marathon. But I tell you, every runner loves Marathon Monday. I don't care where you live. And I say this as someone who went to school in Boston and Marathon Monday was like one of the best days of the year. Granted, I really only got to celebrate it on my senior year because I had done internships 3 of the other 5 years, and my freshman year, I just didn't even know what Marathon Monday was. But Marathon Monday is a BFD for anyone who has any aspiration of being any level of runner. Like, it's just electric. Anyhow, another sidebar tangent. So knowing your audience, knowing what they care about is always going to help drive your content. There are other things that you can do. You can look at your Google Analytics. You can hire someone to give you blog ideas, which I have a great recommendation. If you need it, DM me, send me a message, send me an email, and I will give you her recommendations because she's amazing. But yeah, there are plenty of places you can go to Ask the Public and type in your keywords, and it'll come up with number of ideas that people are searching for when it comes to your topic, your product, your service, whatever it is. So don't sleep on that either. Anyhow, I'm going to end it here because I feel like I've been talking for a really long time. We're going to end it here. As always, follow me on Instagram, subscribe to the podcast. Please, please, please leave reviews. That's how we get found. That's how I get to reach more people and share more fun social media advice with them. And tune back in next week for another episode of Stop the Scroll. Till next time.